I want to talk to you this morning about a woman's place. And before we get too serious about that, I've got a little levity for you here. A husband and wife were having an argument. And finally, out of sheer frustration, the husband blurted out to his wife. He said, "Honey, I don't know why God made you so beautiful and yet so stupid at the same time." And the woman stared at her husband and said, "Well, God made me beautiful so you could love me. And God made me stupid so I could love you." And now I have a more serious story I want to tell you about something pastor recently told me that he had been told by one of his parishioners. This pastor says a friend once told me a story about her call to ministry. And it came when she was young and feeling very small. She was only 15. And this lady tells him that she felt tiny and minute, like a little speck of dust in this whole big world, but God had spoken to her. And in that instant, she knew that in the vast scheme of things, this little insignificant 15-year-old girl named Jackie was to play a significant part in God's plan. She knew that the Creator was calling her to be a pastor when she was only a youth, a very young girl. And this pastor friend of mine goes on to say that Jackie told me that weeks after her call experience, her parents invited the pastor over for dinner. And after dinner, her mother said to Jackie, "So why don't you tell the pastor your good news?" And Jackie did. And she says that her pastor sat there and his face got very red. And then that red, round face broke out into hysterical laughter. And he pounded the wooden arms of the chair with his fist. And he commanded, "You can never be a minister. You're a girl." And we see some of that same negativity in our gospel lesson this morning. Jesus and his disciples had come to the house of Martha and Mary. And Martha was busy. And the scripture says she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. But then something happens that makes Martha stop dead in her tracks. I can see her rubbing her eyes and looking again and make sure she was seeing things right. There's her sister, Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hanging on Jesus' every word. And I can see Martha saying, "Doesn't Mary know that she has work to do? Doesn't Mary know that her place is in the kitchen?" I can see her saying, "What's gotten into her? She just cast her responsibilities aside to go and be with the men." The modern husband, if we move ahead to the present, the modern husband also believes that a woman's place is in the home, and he expects her to go there immediately after she finishes her work. And that is the key to this situation. The real problem between Martha and Mary wasn't the workload that Martha had in the kitchen. The real problem was that Mary was behaving as if she were a man. In that culture, as in many parts of the world to this day, The house is divided into male spaces and female space. And Mary had crossed a boundary within the house and within the culture. The living room of the den was where men gathered. The kitchen belonged to the women. Only in the married bedroom would male and females mix. And for a woman to settle down comfortably among men was scandalous. Who did Mary think she was? Only a shameless woman would behave this way. And Martha, no doubt, was embarrassed by her sister's behavior. Mary had forgotten her place. So Martha was married, and she was probably scared. So the scripture tells us she came to Jesus and asked, "Tell her to help me." And then with his gracious response, Jesus frees Martha from any embarrassment, any anxiety she might be feeling. He sees right into Martha's inner being, into that part deep within that's like a frightened child. He reads her heart. And he tells her and the whole group of folks gathered that everything's all right. And some may have thought that Jesus was angry with Martha, but that's not so. He understands where she's coming from. Jesus knows the custom of the day. Here's a woman that's been denied a wider role in the temple and in society. And as a matter of fact, in Jesus' day, the rabbis had a saying. And the saying is, it's better to burn the Torah than to teach it to a woman. There was a major negative attitude toward women in that culture. And even to this day, some Orthodox men pray daily, thanking God that God didn't make them a woman. And Martha had bought into that belief, into that part of culture. But you know, Jesus is the truth. And many times the truth goes against the grain of the way we look at the world. And the truth is, there are no boundaries in Jesus Christ. There's none of this person is more important than the other. There's no men are better than women. There's no caste system. There's no class system. In that day, to sit at the feet of Jesus was a decidedly male role. And if you sat at someone's feet, it quite simply meant that you were their student. And as the teacher taught, the student would listen and learn and focus on what he was saying. And to sit at the feet of a rabbi was what you did if you wanted to be a rabbi yourself. There was no thought in those days of learning for learning's sake. You learned for a purpose and to work. Mary had quietly taken her place as a would-be teacher. She wanted to be a preacher and bring the kingdom of God to those around her. And Jesus affirms her right to do just that in our scripture today. Not like the story I told you at the beginning. There's no hysterical laughter, no pounding of the fist. And I think that's interesting. Given the customs and the rules of the day, Mary felt comfortable sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I think that tells us a lot about Jesus. I think that tells us a lot about God. Jesus wasn't a scary figure to be around. He didn't make people cower in their boots. I think back to an earlier time when I first started my ministry, and a gentleman confided in me that he had a bad temper, and I'd seen it. I'd seen his temper. He was rough. He had a rough demeanor. And he told me I hurt a lot of people through the course of my life in the past. And I'm sorry for that. But back to Jesus. Jesus was approachable. Jesus made others feel good about themselves. Jesus made people feel important. People didn't feel like they had to be on guard around him or walk on eggshells. He wasn't pretentious. He didn't judge. He loved and accepted people with the grace that is God's. And that is not only an amazing example for us to follow as well when we deal with other persons, it also gives us insight into the character of God. If you look through the scriptures, many times Jesus instructed his disciples, said, do not be afraid. And he also instructed them not to worry. God is love. God is grace. And God is forgiveness. We need not worry about coming into God's presence. Love, grace, forgiveness, that's what it all boils down to. Not rules and regulations, not punishment and anger. 1 John puts it so well in chapter 4. He says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Mary knew that Jesus loved her with an unconditional and accepting love. She had a good insight into Christ. So she didn't feel intimidated. She didn't feel threatened by him. She naturally moved from her normal place in the human pecking order to Jesus' feet, knowing that she was more than welcome to do so, and so are we. Whatever your so-called place is in the world, or in the world's eyes, or even in your eyes, remember this. Jesus loves you just as much as he loves anyone else. And that's a whole lot of love. In the kingdom of God is this church. And everyone counts equally here. And everyone is loved. There's no need to have low self-esteem. There's no need to have a feeling of low self-worth. There's no need to cling to self-hatred. We're not to drag along with us a load of guilt or a load of shame, nor are we to wear. Jesus has taken care of everything for us, and he did it on the cross. All we need to do is to believe and to live. And there's nothing more exciting, nothing more freeing in all of the earth than to believe in Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Amen. And one more thing. I want you men to remember this. A diplomat is a man who always remembers a woman's birthday, but never remembers her age.